Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of August 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Andy Schaefer of the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility should join us to take up the cash grain market in his part of the world. And we'll check in on the results from the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. And we'll get the estimates that Pro Farmer has just released. These are different than the tour for the national size of the crop. Brian Grady will join us during this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Friday afternoon. Futures in the corn pit are down 5 3/4 at 3.65 1/4. And the December at 5 1/4 lower at 3.77 1/4. The March down a nickel at 3.88 3/4. The May down 4 3/4 at 3.94 3/4. And July corn down 4.5 at 3.99. September beans 16 1/4 lower today at 9.05 1/4. November at 8.89 1/2 down 17 3/4. January down 18 1/4 at 8.93 1/2, and the March at 8.93 1/4 down 18 cents. The May futures down 17 1/2 at 8.94. Wheat futures in the September contract are down 6 3/4. They're trading at 4.99 1/2, and July at 5.12 1/2 down 7 1/4. The hard red for the day down 10 1/4 at 4.71 in the nearby September. July at 5.26 1/2 down 7 3/4. Bean meal down $4 at 3.26.90. Bean oil at 27.36, 62 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the August contract down $1.47 1/2. At 145, and the feeder cattle at 152 1/2 lower, finished at 211.67 1/2. They're actually still trading. Lean hogs October contract at $1.92 1/2 lower, $62.82 1/2. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. When you're there, you'll find all of our ag programming, and you'll be able to pick it up and listen to it anytime you'd like. Again, that's at willag.org. That's willag.org. Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Well, let's take a look at some of the other numbers as they're trading in Chicago at this hour from the energy sector. We see that crude oil is trading at $40.32 a barrel. That's down a dollar. Ethanol at $1.44 7/10 is a penny and 7/10 lower. Gasoline on the RBOB, $1.54 6/10, a penny and 2 cents higher for the wholesale price. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.46 4/10 is 3 1/10 of a cent lower for the day. Natural gas at $2.67 7/10 is down 7 8/10. The financials show us the Dow Jones Industrial Average falling now down by 346 points at 16,570. The U.S. dollar at 95.005 is dropping as well, down at 0.97. And gold futures for the day are higher, up by $5.20 at $1,158 even. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 80 degrees. Tonight, clear, a low of 57. Tomorrow, sunny and 82 on a south-southeast wind at 6 to 13. And Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low of 63. Sunday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 p.m. Partly sunny with a high of 80 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly clear and a low of 56. Monday, sunny and 77. Tuesday, sunny and 75. Wednesday, sunny and 79. And Thursday, guess what? Sunny skies and 80 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson. Since 1985, Stewart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. Information is available at stewart-peterson.com.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're joined now by Mike Zuzlow to take up this marketplace. Mike, do you want to start with the Dow Jones Industrial Average and what's been happening on the outside markets, please?
Yeah, sure. We got a Dow pretty much crashing hard today, Todd, once again, with the risk-off trade really building here as we go into the weekend. We're down nearly 400 in the Dow futures right now, and that puts us down about 2.5%. S&P 500 is also down about 2.5%, almost 50 points there in the S&P. Only thing that's higher today are the gold futures and the yen and the euro, but everything else is pretty much. RBOB is also higher, but pretty much everything has been a safe haven mindset.
How did the rest of the trade in Chicago work then?
You know, and I'll say one other thing about this on the outside markets, because it's important for our grain and livestock people. This could be a watershed moment with what we're dealing with. The dollar is going to go lower with it, and so we're talking about the dollar now testing its 10-month moving average, Todd. We haven't been below that since May of last year, and this really sets us up for a situation where the stock market and the dollar going lower together, along with the crude oil, all of a sudden you have a reason by the Fed to do absolutely nothing come September, and maybe do nothing in October, and maybe have to wait until November or December before they actually do their liftoff. Because if we're seeing weaker stock markets, they may start to assume a weaker employment situation. Weaker crude oil equals weaker inflation. All of a sudden, there are two mandates for why, and the data they want that they're watching to raise rates is gone at this point. So not a negative feature when it comes to the investment flows eventually.
I'm sorry, tell me just a bit about the soybean market for the day.
Yeah, international cash meal market starting to get a little bit soft. I made a call up to Chicago. EFG made some calls, and looks like to me, from what they're saying, is we're probably $25 to $30 a ton too high at the Gulf right now. And the reason I initiated that call is because as the futures broke this week, we also started to see the Gulf basis slip as well.
Okay. Now, tell me about this cattle on feed report that came out. Did you see the numbers as they were released at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, on feed August 1, 103, that's the top end of the range. Placements in July, 99%, that is in the lower part of the range. Very wide range of placements, 11 percentage range points on placements, 94 to 105. Marketings in July, 97, that's just under the top end. So better report than I think the trade was expecting, especially for feeders. We kept those places below 100%. On feed stayed within the estimates, and the marketings for the fats were on the top end, which is nice too.
All right. Other things that you've been watching for the day?
Well, I would say the pro farmer numbers came out, and I think it really was a situation and maybe another watershed event. You've got now a situation where the corn was too much at 1.7 billion bushels to now maybe not enough at a theoretical 1.35 billion when you take the pro farmer supply of 363 million bushels off the table. Eastern Corn Belt made the difference. Western Corn Belt didn't offset. In fact, pro farmer came in lower than the USDA in Iowa and in Minnesota. So I think this 357.5 low from August 12th, Todd, should be kind of unyielding support on a weekly basis if this market takes these numbers at face value.
And we'll hear the complete set of numbers in a moment. I already talked to Brian Grady, and we'll get those numbers, but I will give you, just as Mike has given you some of them, the USDA national average is now at 166.8 for corn. Pro Farmer puts that national average more than two bushels lower at 164.3. So that will make quite the difference, I think, over time. Do you suppose USDA's numbers in September will come down closer to what Pro Farmer is showing?
I think they should, Todd. I feel very comfortable with my 163.5 because of Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin and Indiana probably showing lower ear girth or lower ear weight. So that's kind of the scatter diagram USDA puts out every month now and NAS does every month. That's the chart to watch now in September. If it comes down, I'm going to bet it's because of that.
All right. Other things that we need to watch on the national or international level at all?
Well, I think the currency markets and the VIX are two big things that you and I will probably talk about next week. The currency markets are reacting actually more favorably than I thought they would, and I was hoping that we would get a break in the dollar here based upon the chart technicals. We're getting that, and so I think if you can keep together your emerging markets, stock markets, you have a situation where your commodity demand actually is improving under this kind of pressure in the outside markets. And you and I have talked about it a lot, Todd. This may be that flux where you see asset allocation move from the equities back over into the commodities, and these long-term commodity cycles may start to work in our favor as we get into September, October.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
My pleasure. Have a good weekend, and we'll see you September 3rd, Thursday, at the Farm Progress Show.
Yeah, Thursday at Farm Progress Show. Absolutely, you bet. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas, and he will join us at Farm Progress Show. Remember, that's the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd. That's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at the Farm Progress Show, over in Decatur at Progress City. That's near the ADM plant, frankly. And if you get a chance to come over and visit with us, we'd sure like to see you there. I'll be doing the program live from the University of Illinois tent. That's just inside the main gates, just to the right, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, actually 9:50 a.m. in the morning, too, if you listen to our home radio station. And Orion Samuelson will join us on the stage at the U of I tent in the 10 o'clock hour. So it should be a great show, Farm Progress Show, coming up not next week, but the following week. This is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Brian Grady. He's the editor of the Pro Farmer newsletter, just returned from a week-long tour of the Midwest on the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour, ran the eastern leg of that tour, had a really restless night, I believe, last night, calculating a whole lot of numbers that culminate in the tour results. And then more importantly, with the Pro Farmer estimates, can we start with the tour results? Maybe you can run us back through those, please.
Sure. On the tour, what we found, obviously, was some major issues out in the eastern Corn Belt. And these are actual tour samples that I'm going to be giving you. Objective data. So the scouts go out in the field and they pull the samples, and then we calculate those. And in Ohio, it gave us an average yield of 148.37, and that was down 18.5%. Indiana, 142.94 bushels per acre, down 22.7%. Illinois, 171.64, down 12.9% from a year ago on tour. And then in Iowa, we got 180.25, up 0.8 of a bushel from a year ago. In Nebraska, we got 165.16, also up 0.8 of a bushel from a year ago, or 0.8 of a percent, excuse me, from a year ago. Minnesota, 190.87, up 11.8% from a year ago. And South Dakota, 165.94, up 8.7% from a year ago.
As I listened and watched the Twitter feeds and talked to, of course, some of the folks that were out on the tours, including Chip, you get different feelings from different folks, depending on which routes they were running. Chip and Matt Bennett were running a western leg, and I think they must not have been too far apart, frankly, because they both were not terribly impressed with the crop, even in Minnesota. And then on the eastern leg, we were talking with Katie Misick, and she certainly was not impressed with the crop, and that would be true east of the Mississippi River. But there were some places, I think, in Iowa and Minnesota that were awfully good. Those routes were, how good were they?
Well, we didn't see much of anything, quite honestly, until we got to western Illinois. And then we started to see a little bit of improvement. And then when we crossed to the Mississippi River into eastern Iowa, that's when we started to get some really good yields out of there. We went in one stretch on my particular route yesterday through eastern and northeastern Iowa, and it was when we got into the northeastern portion of the state that we had, I think, seven samples in a row that were above or averaging 200 plus bushels per acre. So the corn in this area is just phenomenal, as are the soybeans. We've gotten very timely rains and stuff. But, you know, other scouts ran different routes, and they came back with some different results, and that's why we fan out. And we pulled over 1,400 corn samples across the Corn Belt this week. And, you know, that's a lot of sampling to do in a four-day period, and it gives us a really good snapshot of what's out there as for the corn crop as a whole across the Corn Belt.
Before you sat down last night to do the calculations for the official estimates, were you of the mind that Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri would be outweighed by the size of the crop in Minnesota, Iowa, and Nebraska?
Yeah, that was the big question coming in, and that's what we wanted to find out. And we, you know, Chip and his crew just didn't find quite enough bushels to offset what we found was lost in the Eastern Belt. And so that is something that we just felt at the end of the 4 days that, no, there aren't enough bushels in the Western Corn Belt in our estimation to offset what was lost in the East.
All right, I'm ready now. What are the official estimates from Pro Farmer?
On corn, we came up with an average yield of 164.3 bushels per acre for a crop of 13.323 billion bushels. Soybeans, a crop of 3.887 billion bushels on an average yield of 46.5 bushels per acre.
Good enough. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. What did you think of those numbers when you got to them?
You know what? It took us a long time. On the corn side of things, I think that USDA is too high on Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio because they use an average ear weight. And that's just their methodology in August. It's not an average ear weight out there. We saw plenty of ears. The ear counts were fine all the way across. But grain length is missing in these areas. And if you don't have the grain length, you're not going to have yield and you're not going to have ear weights. And I think, is where we're going to see the reduction in the coming months here.
Do you do state-by-state breakdowns for the official Pro Farmer numbers?
We do. We break out each one. I can run down those with you if you want.
Yes, please.
Sure. Okay, I'll do corn first, and we'll just go across east to west. Ohio, we put at 151. Indiana, 145. Illinois, 169. Iowa, 181. Minnesota, 178. Nebraska, 178. And South Dakota, 160.
Generally, there is some deviation from year to year from the tour results to the official estimates. For instance, Nebraska is normally about 15 bushels low on the tour. That was the case this year. Are there other places that have general deviations that you know about?
Yeah, all the states. We know about how much we miss by. Some of them are minor misses. And by that, I mean, you know, 1 to 3 bushels. And that covers the vast majority of them. Nebraska and Minnesota are the two that we miss the most by. And the reason being that we take the sweet spot out of Minnesota. We just do them bottom tier of counties going through. So that's their highest production area. We don't go north of the Twin Cities. In Nebraska, we sample about 60% dry land and 40% irrigated. And the exact opposite is true in the state. It's 60% irrigated and 40% dry land. So we know we typically estimate them light, and those are our two biggest outliers.
Brian, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
All right, thank you.
Brian Grady, just back from the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. He's the newsletter editor for Pro Farmer. On this Friday afternoon, we're joined by Andy Schaefer. He's at the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility to take up the cash grain market in that northwest central part of Iowa. Thanks, Andy, for being with us. I see that Pro Farmer has released their numbers. We just finished talking with Brian Grady. He tells us that the great state of Iowa, in Pro Farmer's estimation, will raise 181 bushel to the acre corn. That compares to the USDA's 183. The tour estimate was slightly lower than that. In your area, do you suppose you'll average something closer to that?
No, Todd, we're going to be much greater than that. When I look at the state of Iowa, obviously it's broken up into 9 districts, and we're in the, you know, north Northwest Corner District, and that district alone is probably the biggest producing district in the state, I think, if my facts are right. And I'm really expecting, the record for that district was in 2009 at 195 bushels per acre. I have our area pegged in at 205, so a big, about a 10 bushel per acre jump from the record in 2009 in our district.
And how does your cash basis reflect this?
Our cash basis here for old crop is 33 under, but new crop we are 40 under, and the new crop basis has not changed here in the last probably 3-4 months, so pretty steady.
And your expectation is that this crop's going to come in. Is it maturing on time now, or is it what stage are we in?
As far as the plants and harvest timing, is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think actually I pulled some ears yesterday afternoon on our way home, and the corn is starting to dent a little bit. I would fully expect to see some corn harvest towards the last week of September.
And you normally would harvest about that time, or are you a little later than that?
It would normally be the first week in October. So I today, you know, depending on how the weather goes here for the balance of the next month or so, I think we could be seeing that last part of September, which would be probably seven days early, maybe.
Is your soybean Nothing crop as good as the corn crop?
Oh, yeah, it looks like it, and it's so tough to estimate soybean yields, but, I mean, everybody is just saying that they look good. We are seeing aphid pressure, lots of guys sprayed for aphids, and hopefully that hasn't made much damage, but guys are trying to control it.
Do you have farmers with very much corn in the bin yet to sell?
Certainly not as much as there was 20 days ago or so when we had that big rally. People sold the rest of their old crop corn, delivered on that corn. The receipts have slowed down here in August, and I think there's still some out there, but certainly not as much as there was before.
Then will you have space to put this crop away?
You know, I sure hope so. It's a big crop out here, and I think lines are going to be long, and hopefully guys have patience, and it's going to be a big one. So hopefully we can handle it.
Man, the southern Minnesota area, though, just north of you, is it not as good?
No, it is as good, if not potentially even better. We got customers right on the Minnesota-Iowa line, north of us here, and they're just telling us the same thing that our guys are telling us right here as well, that it's really good, it's bigger. They're talking over 200 easy, and I think a lot of these guys are just saying it's the best I've ever seen. And I think when guys are saying that, you truly got to respect it, and I just think it's, we have the potential to be really big, and I think guys are finally catching a break in our backyard, because the last few years we've really not caught very many breaks with kind of our weather pattern. So I think the guys are due for a good yielding crop this year.
And what are your bids for the day?
Our cash corn price here over the scale today is 332 cash. Our new crop corn is 337. Our soybeans, we are at an inverse still. We are $8.94 cash versus our new crop bid of $8.29.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Andy. That's Andy Schaefer, of course. He is with the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. Joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
It's National Spumoni Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1754, William Murdoch was born. A Scottish inventor, he was the first to make extensive use of coal gas for illumination, and he was a pioneer in the development of steam power. In 1814, Benjamin Thompson died, an American physician. He invented the percolator, a pressure cooker, and a kitchen stove. He is also frequently credited with creating Baked Alaska. In 1878, the American Bar Association was founded. In 1888, William Burroughs from St. Louis received patents for four adding machine applications, including the first U.S. patent for a calculating machine that he would eventually market. In 1959, Hawaii officially became the 50th state of the Union. In 1960, David Steinman died, an American engineer. His studies of airflow and wind velocity helped make possible the design of aerodynamically stable bridges. In all, he designed more than 400 bridges in his lifetime. In 1987, the Dow Jones reached what was then an all-time high of 2772.4. And in 1997, Hudson Foods closed a plant in Nebraska after it had recalled 25 million pounds of ground beef that was potentially contaminated with E. coli bacteria. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find it online at willag.org, delivered not long after it airs on our radio stations. Look for it at willag.org under the Closing Market Report heading. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Here's the weather forecast for the weekend. Saturday, we'll have mostly cloudy skies in southern Illinois with an 84-degree top and then drop down to 66 for the evening. A 30% chance of rainfall, some thunderstorms and light showers across the southern part of the state on Saturday night into Sunday morning. Those chances will increase to 45%. And we'll go to 83 degrees, and then things will clear out. We'll go to partly cloudy skies by Sunday evening with a 60-degree low and start the work week under mostly sunny skies and 79 degrees in the southern part of Illinois. Central Illinois on Saturday, we'll see partly sunny skies and 83 degrees. They'll have rainfall Saturday night, too. Just a 35% chance and a 66-degree low. Those rain showers will stick around in the morning on Sunday, but dissipate, and we'll go to 80 degrees under mostly sunny skies by the afternoon and clear out with a 57-degree low on Sunday evening, starting the work week in central Illinois with mostly sunny skies and 79 degrees. And then in the northern part of the state, sunny skies Saturday and 82. A little rainfall maybe on Saturday evening, 63 degrees for the low, a 35% chance of rain. That rain will stick around a good part of Sunday and a 77-degree top in the northern part of Illinois. And then it'll clear out as well on Sunday evening to mostly clear skies, 56 degrees, and a beautiful, mostly sunny, almost fall-like day on Monday with a 73-degree temperature for the start of the work week. Just a couple quick items that we should talk about that are on the calendar for Will Ag. The first one is Farm Progress Show. That's coming up soon, September the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In Decatur, Illinois, over at Progress City this year, not very far away. So if you're in the listening area, please do drop by and see us. We'll be, of course, in the University of Illinois tent. That's just to the right of the main gate. It may take you about 30 seconds to walk there once you get inside the gate at the Farm Progress Show. I'll be on the air live from the Farm Progress Show during the Closing Market Report, the 2 o'clock hour, up on stage. Come and visit with us if you'd like. The analysts are coming in. We'll also have Orion Samuelson there in the morning. That's at 10 o'clock, so you can come see Orion in the morning, me in the afternoon. Either one of us will be glad to have you in the tent at the University of Illinois. That's the 1st, the 2nd, and the 3rd of the month of September in Decatur, Illinois. The next item is September the 14th. I'll tell you more about this later. We'll be in Mahomet at the Farm Credit Illinois building with one of our Will Ag panels. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming posted not long after it airs on our radio stations.